Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
David Carey joins us once again. Good afternoon, David.
I would love to go to the Burning Man Festival once.
We had one of the organisers of it and one of the founders of it.
Oh, really?
In with us earlier on.
You have to apply now. You just can't.
Oh, can you not?
I think it's a lottery system or some such.
Oh, because they want to restrict, because the numbers are 75,000
in the States.
Yes,
not the
makey
uppy ones.
No, there's loads of makey uppy ones.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Plus, you also need to have an RV and be prepared to put your own poo in a bag or something.
Yeah, maybe I need to think. <that's
true. laughs> No, I'm misleading you there. The one thing they do provide is toilets.
Okay.
So that's okay.
But I can rent an RV.
So. Yeah, everything else you have to bring with you. Speaking of events people would want to go to, there's a lecture you're going to be giving.
Oh, there's a course on, actually, at City Colleges. It's really interesting because it's designed for parents and people who are interested in counseling. So if you're interested or have any interest in how to talk with and counsel people, and in particular children, get in touch with City Colleges. A few places left.
Right.
Starts
okay.
Next Thursday.
I'm sure City Colleges have their website where you can go and find out about that. Right. First question is this. I have twin boys who are almost 6 years old. They're good friends and get on very well together, apart from the usual sibling bickering and wrestling. Recently, I caught them playing together where one of them had inserted his finger into the other one's bum. This didn't seem to bother either of them and they thought it was hilarious. So I brushed it off as innocent playing. Then last night when they were in the bath, one of them was repeatedly asking if he could kiss the other one's willy, and also asking for kisses on the lips, to which his brother obliged. Again, this didn't seem to bother him, although he did seem slightly annoyed at the repeated requests. I'm just wondering if this is normal behaviour for a five-year-old. It's the same brother who instigates this behaviour every time. Does this mean he's gay? If this is the case, it wouldn't bother me in the least, but either way, I want to deal with the situation the best way possible. We have talked to them before about private parts being private and not to let anyone outside the family see their private parts. What do I do?
Well, let's get rid of the "does this mean he's gay" part first, okay?
Yeah.
No, forget the gayness. Now,
this why forget the gayness? Because you wouldn't know.
Well, because
know
he's only five.
Yeah, okay.
Sexual identity is not formed, so we just disregard that business. Now, it raises a numerous troubling points, but before I get to those, it raises the issue of a gap in the literature. In Ireland, as in almost everywhere, we don't have any data on what represents normative, unusual body part play amongst children.
Mm.
So we don't know what you might link into the normal, what we used to call my age, you show me yours, I'll show you mine kind of thing, which was innocent play amongst younger children, as opposed to something that falls outside of the realm of what we could assign to just innocent exploration and whatnot. So we don't really know for a scientific certainty. What can I say about this? Is this normal adolescent exploration of a body at age five? Probably not.
Mm.
Now, I don't know for sure. It's highly unusual. I mean, having worked with thousands of 5, 6, 7, and 8 year olds, you don't hear of this behavior very often. Maybe 0.0001% of the time might you hear of these sorts of things. It's of interest to me that only one of the two boys is instigating this behavior. So I would wonder, has he been overstimulated in some way by being exposed to sexually explicit material, either photographic or video? Has he been spoken to by someone in the schoolyard about this kind of behavior? Has something happened to him directly to stimulate this kind of interest? I think there's a question that the parents could ask very genuinely that usually leads to a good enough answer. And the question is, where did you learn to play that game?
Mm.
It desexualizes it because at this age, it really isn't sexualized behavior. Is it inappropriate behavior? Yes. We don't touch other people in their private places. That's part of our culture. So we can say that here in the Western world, we don't want young children doing that sort of thing.
Mm.
And I think that's the road to go down. Where did you learn to play that game? I wouldn't say who taught you. I would say, where did you learn? Or who where did you first see that game? Something like that may lead you to a better answer than getting yourself completely unnerved and excited and thinking of it as sexualized behavior. We don't know what's going on here, but we do know that one of the two boys is the instigator.
Yeah.
All of the time, not the other one. Why is this boy instigating this sort of bodily exploration? I don't know, but I'd like to know. And I think the parents need to know. And the best way is to ask that question, because right now it would appear it's only confined to his twin brother. Should it happen outside of the family helm, 99 chances out of 100, all holy hell will break loose. A parent will ring the guards. There will be social workers at the door, and your life will become a living nightmare. You want to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
Being punitive, roaring, and shrieking isn't going to help. Reinforcing the fact that we do not touch or show other people the parts of our body that are covered by our bathing suit unless it's mommy or daddy or a doctor. And usually if it's a doctor, mommy or daddy is there in the room too. Because that's usually how most GPs would work when examining children, when they have to examine their genital area. So I think that's the road to go down. Do something. Don't ignore it. It's not frivolous. Let's eliminate the gay thing. You need to ask the question. And asking genuinely without distress, if you can, is the best way to elicit an answer that may lead you down the roads that you need to journey.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to which, you really need to begin to reinforce to these boys, you may not do that. That may mean not bathing them together anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, they're probably sharing the same room. How much can you actually organize in a family home to see to it that they're never in the same place together? It certainly means that the door should always be open when they're playing in their room. So no play during the daytime, no playing behind closed doors. They require a little bit more supervision. Certainly when other children are in the house, cousins and neighbors' children, etc., I'd want to be applying a little bit more scrutiny and unobtrusive supervision of the boys, not letting them upstairs to play, for example. So this needs a little bit of exploration.
Mm.
I don't want the parents to get distraught over this. I don't know what it means any more than they do, but we need to find out.
Yeah. Is there any possibility, David, that he just got a notion to start doing these kind of things?
Children
rather
don't
than he probably saw? Or...
Not really.
Yeah.
One of the things we know about children's drawings, for example, is that even children who live in cultures in which nudity is very casual, they don't draw pictures of naked bodies.
That's interesting.
I'm talking about young children.
Yeah.
Now, there are exceptions to that. That doesn't mean a child who draws a picture with boobs or a penis on it has been disturbed with, etc. But the fact is it's not normative. So that even if we take cultures such as, let's say, Italy, where there are ever-present statues of the naked male and female form, children don't draw pictures of people with their genitalia exposed or their boobs exposed. In tribal cultures where there is a more female nudity from the waist up and whatnot, children don't draw those kind of pictures a lot. So... you know, we don't have a lot of data in this whole area, unfortunately. Even in North America, we lack some real good normative studies of what represents normal expected children's anatomical play, if there is even such a thing. We don't know a lot yet. So let's not get hysterical, but let's find out. Remember what the question is, parents. Where did you learn to play that game?
Yeah,
is a very good question. It takes all the panic out of it. It frames it in a language that children can understand, playing a game. Because I have encountered numerous cases where children have been asked that, and unfortunate things have been uncovered, actually. I've also experienced in my own practice in the last 10 years here in Ireland, a number of children who have engaged in that very same behavior, that is, inserting a finger in the rectum of another young child. And I'm talking about 5 and 6 year olds now, or kissing a penis, in which everything went crazy. When one child goes home and talks to mother or father, the gardaí are called, tusla is called, and lives are destroyed in the process over what could have been, in some cases, just a very meaningless sort of thing.
Yeah.
But once once all that happens and you get the, in inverted commas, the authorities involved, there are no winners.
Yeah. We have a 14-year-old son. He's the eldest. We live in a coastal area. I'm not sure if I'm being overprotective, but he and his friends have recently begun to go swimming in wetsuits in a well-known swimming spot. My issue is that if they just swam and jumped off the diving board, that would be fine, but they are cliff diving. I feel there is huge room for error, and I'm not happy, but I feel peer pressured as his friends seem to be allowed, and my husband is also thinking that this is what boys this age do. I have asked him not to cliff dive, but know that as soon as I'm not there, he will anyway. He has always been a child to do as he pleases. I feel that I was being fair when I told him at the beginning of the Easter holidays that he could join his friends sometimes and I would pop around to check what they were up to. He went a couple of times over Easter but wasn't happy in not being allowed to cliff dive. The other day, he showed me a video he claimed was about a month old, which shows him stripped to his underpants and backflipping off a pier. Now I feel that every time he's out with his friends, I have no clue as to what he's at. I have no trust in his word. Am I being too cautious with him? I feel he's getting mixed messages from my husband and I, which doesn't help. I would love to know David's thoughts.
Well, there's an interesting line here. He has always been a child to do as he pleases. How the hell was that allowed? Someone had to collude with that.
Yeah.
So now you have the residue, perhaps, of being a bit laissez-faire and a bit too passive about a child's doing as he pleases. And now we're 14 years old. Our brain is working in such a way that it has no concept of danger. Thrill-seeking is normal at that age of adolescence, completely normal. This is extreme thrill-seeking. I share the mother's concern. Something horrific could happen here. I question the father, who thinks it's okay. It's what boys do at that age. The vast majority of 14-year-old boys don't cliff dive in wetsuits. And only a small number of them do backflips in their underpants off a pier. So it is not normative behavior. We're blaming the peer group. Let's not blame the peer group. Your son has a mind. He has a will. He is responsible for his own behavior. You are ultimately going to be responsible should something bad happen. And so this needs clear prohibition, in my view. Now,
easier said than done, of course. Easier said than done.
Well, very yes, unfortunately. But as parents, we have to do what's hard to do, and the best way we can. So I'd get rid of that wetsuit.
Yeah.
Number one, you're just not having it anymore. No, I don't trust you because you can't trust yourself because you're putting yourself at extreme risk of life-threatening or life-ending behaviors here. And therefore, we may have to provide some restrictions on where he goes and who he goes with to the best of our ability. There's a delicate balance here. You can come down too hard and push him more towards the thrill-seeking behavior. I'd want to talk to this boy and know why he's doing what he's doing. Some young people engage in extreme risky behavior as a way to prepare for self-harm. I'm not saying he's one.
Yeah.
But it's often called like suicide by millimeters, you know? People who have a death wish and they do it by extreme sporting, et cetera. That doesn't describe everyone who's in.
No.
You know, I'm trying to be sensible.
Yeah.
Here.
There can often be a dynamic there with kids that age, particularly boys that age. Well, who's going to do the most dangerous thing and be seen to be the most crazy? And therefore, you get the more kudos for
that. Well, if you're involved in that kind of group, you're putting yourself in great risk. And I think this is where parents have to step in. There has to be a line somewhere. You do what you can do, parents, to the best of your ability, and then fasten your safety belt and hope you've done enough. I would definitely confiscate the wetsuit, would have done that the very first time it happened. I would sit down and have a real heart heartfelt chat with the hubby who thinks this is what boys do, because that's just plain dumb and very much overly permissive. He won't be thinking that, God forbid, should his son sustain a head injury or a spinal injury as a result of this kind of tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Step in, do something.
Now, Justin says, in form of the risks and best practice, proper safety assessments, etc. I'm thinking David didn't grow up beside a cliff. All young men cliff jump. I'm just 60 and still don my wetsuit for some Atlantic madness. Someone else says, at 15, myself and my friends, all strong swimmers, cliff jumped every day of the summer. No drugs, smoking or drinking, just good kids having fun. Would I do it now? No. But I look back with fond memories.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yeah,
nothing like
sweet.
Fond memories of the stupid things you did when you were a kid.
The, like, I did it and it didn't do me any harm.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of thing.
Well, that's been the greatest defense for smacking children around, you know. I got smacked around and it did me no harm.
Yeah.
I've been hearing that one for
you
years.
You were a model human being, though. That's the difference.
Well, yeah. This is very true, of course. Much like yourself.
Yes,
I emulate
indeed.
Myself after you in many
you.
Ways.
So, you know, and the fact that you survived a risky behavior doesn't make it any less of a risky behavior.
I wasn't jumping off of cliffs. I mean, there's a difference here between cliff diving and jumping off a pier.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make that distinction?
You know?
Now, I don't know how high the cliff is. We don't have enough information here.
Yeah.
Cliff diving, to me, connotes a very dangerous activity, which is different from one of our texters saying they jumped off rocks into the water.
Yeah. No, because she
two
says
different
there's
things.
Yeah, she says there is there's a diving board, and she's no problem with that, but she says they're cliff diving. So obviously it's away from where the swimming area
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, do these youngsters get into the water first and see how deep it is, and to see is there a submerged rock or something?
Mm.
I don't know. Okay, if I'm being too cautious and conservative and I save a life, I deserve a Nobel Prize.
Yeah. The issue is permission, says Barry. How high is the cliff or pier? How deep is the water? Good swimmer or not? This decides the danger. Rugby has more risk, says Barry. Well, it's a fair point. Rugby does have, and people sometimes sustain terrible injuries from rugby, but at least in rugby, there's people looking after it, and there's ways of doing things.
And there are people there
to
help immediately. Now, I think Barry's made a good point, though. It does depend on where we are, how high the cliff is, how deep the water is, what kind of surf is involved, etc., the size of the waves, blah, 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 the depth of the channel, the speed of the current. If these things are unknowns, then the risk factor is greater and greater and greater.
Yeah.
I just think I'm being sensible. I don't think I'm being too cautious here. Do you?
No, I don't. No, I mean, we don't know. I mean, maybe the mother's completely exaggerated the risk and it's not really a cliff.
could be.
So if that was the case, then maybe, you know, maybe all those people might have a point. But saying I jumped off a cliff, like, you know, like we all know things, unbelievably stupid things we did when we were teenagers that... And you look back and you go, Mother of God.
No, not
I'm still
me.
Alive. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's very true. Well, I saw a friend of mine just remarked the other day. My daughter, actually.
I just want to amend that statement and say that, which I hear other people have done. I, of course, never did this. I'm only saying this because my 16-year-old daughter is sitting in the control room now listening to me. Hi, Ellie. David's going to be talking to you, Ellie, afterwards. There's a few things we need to, you know, work out about your cliff diving. Right. We'll move on to one final question before we let David go. I have a 16-month-old boy who's full of life and mischief. He loves headbutting the couch and biting the cushions on the couch. We try to stop him and tell him no, that he'll hurt himself. But he's so young, he doesn't understand what we mean and just laughs at us with our serious faces. The problem is he does this to us too, headbutting and biting our legs again with the same laughing when we try to tell him to stop. He's going to start creche soon and I'm worried what he's going to do. He's going to do this to the other children in the group. How can we communicate the word stop to him in a way that he'll understand?
It's a game.
Yeah.
And you know, so here we have a 16-month-old that's headbutting his way through life. That may be a good sign for his personality. Maybe he's an Aries, like me.
Right.
Just ramming your way through life. You
okay,
know?
That's a rather unscientific approach to take to this question.
Well, of course, it is. Nothing wrong with pseudoscience every now and then. Okay, how do you communicate this? I think you hold your hand up, or your hands up, and you say no instead of stop.
Mm.
You say it rather loudly, no, and then you hold him and you look at him, no. hurting, no headbutting, yeah. I don't know, whatever phraseology you can use, it'll go away. It's just a 16-month-old game.
Yeah. And the biting, probably 16-month-old is probably teething.
I was in my daughter's home, Aaron, about 2 years ago. Liam was 2.5, 3 at the time. She was getting him ready for school. He didn't want to go, and he gave her a ferocious bite. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard Aaron raise her voice, ever. It scared me. She got right in his face and very loudly, "Don't ever bite mommy again." Gave me a fright. Mm. You know, sometimes you have to be a little firm. Of course, he cried and carried on. She hasn't been bitten since, though.
Okay, yeah.
Limits, boundaries, saying no, biting, no headbutting. Now, 16 months, it's just headbutting. How much damage? For him, it's a game, a playful game. You know, the biting part, it sounds like it's a game, too, because he bites and smiles.
Yeah.
So let's not make too much of it. It isn't aggression, and it isn't a tendency to be aggressive. It's just a little game that a 16-month-old plays. You just have to say no.
Yeah.
No. And usually that's sufficient.
Yeah, but it takes them a while to figure out what no means.
Of course, yeah. And that's why you use the nonverbals.
Yeah, hold up the hands, but not too close to the mouth, obviously, because you might lose a finger.
Well, yeah, you'll lose quickly, you know.
That's pretty much all our time. Though somebody did text in, this is relevant probably to a number of questions we've had today, but this person says, when my son was 3, he went through a phase of sticking his finger up the dog's bum in his nose and ears. He thought it was hilarious. It's just being a kid, I think. So also keep your... keep your pets away from your children. David, thanks a million for coming into us.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? Gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
That tells you.